This is Clem from White Cowbell, Oklahoma. And baby, don't touch that dial, because you got it locked on C-I-T-R.
Become a friend of CITR and receive great discounts at businesses around Vancouver.
Your Friends of CITR card will net you discounts in the Westside UBC area at Banyan Books, The Bike Kitchen, The Eatery, Fresh's Best Salsa, Gumdrops, Kerner's Pub, Prussian Music, Rufus's Guitar Shop, and West Coast Music.
And don't forget the UBC Bookstore. It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus, or visit us online at citr.ca.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
Yo, Troy, you've been using my shampoo because it's for guys who want thicker looking hair.
I didn't use it.
Didn't you?
No.
Didn't you?
Yes.
Head and Shoulders Hair Endurance. Thicker looking hair in 1 week. Satisfaction guaranteed.
We'll be right back.
Well, 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 welcome to Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners. However you've decided to spend the hour with us, we're very glad to have you. We are listening to a little bit of Robert Palmer's Addicted to Love, which I thought could be very appropriate. I've got one of our favorite artists in Vancouver who's got an exhibit right now at the Gallery Gachet. I had her on a couple weeks ago. Montana King is going to be on air. I'm very excited to have her, so she's calling in tonight. And I'm very excited about this. So if you haven't had a chance to check out Montana's show yet, it is still up and it's actually going down on Sunday. So it was pretty exciting. It got extended and I'm very, very happy about that. So welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hello. Ooh, you've got such a rich voice, even over the phone. I love it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So how's the exhibit going, my darling?
Oh, it's going wonderful. Wonderful. I'm inviting people to come to the salon and sit down and read about my project and look at the art.
Awesome. And for those people who weren't able to hear the show before, because I've been told that the podcast didn't work as well, so people couldn't hear it. So why don't you just tell us, I just found that out because one of our listeners sent a message in because they're quite excited that we're having you on the show again. So with that, and really wanted to hear it. So if you wanted to describe in terms of the chains, what are your thoughts? So in terms of how would you describe it?
Well, my chain series is on the chains of humanity. It depicts a lot about drugs. You have to come see it. The last day is, of course, Sunday, and it finishes at 6 o'clock Sunday evening. So anyone's welcome to come.
I think it's great, and it's a very profound pieces. It's quite a vast variety where you've got your chain series. You've also got the whales as well, and it's really neat because with the chains, one of the biggest ones that you've got there, you've got all the needles in it, and I'm just trying to remember what that piece is called, but it's really, really strong. And you'd mentioned today you'd had some people who'd come in to take a look at your work, and it had a really strong effect on them. Would you like to talk about that a bit?
Yeah, I had two lovely people come in, very diverse areas of life. And one of the ladies who saw the show, I have a chain series about children and trauma, and she said it just totally moved her. And she's a First Nations lady, and beautiful lady. Her name is related to, I think, the killer whales, which was really nice. And she said the whole show just moved her so deeply. Yeah, and she deals with a lot of the women in the downtown east side directly.
Okay.
And she said, sometimes she thinks there's no hope, but I think if we look deep within our soul, I think we find answers.
Mm-hmm.
And the other gentleman who came in, he said it was, it was just, the energy was just nothing like what he expected. It was, very moving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is really, really neat. How have you found, I think it's great that you're getting so much positive response, and just even in one day that... just about those profound remarks as well. Out of the whole time that your exhibit's been up, what are the most pivotal things in terms of what have you learned as an artist from this exhibit and just working directly with the public and sharing your work?
Well, I've had a lot of support from the community, from a lot of the people that I do know down there. And I think it's nice to know that art can move people in good directions, and be supportive in some kind of human force.
It's true. Yeah. It really is. Oh, it is. I was just commenting. It is. It's very true. And
I was going to ask, because I know part of your series in terms of the changed and the unchained, one of the things you and I talked about this afternoon, or I guess earlier this evening, was just in regards to with the series. And you see a lot of the people in the downtown east side. And in terms of addiction, what do you think that is the answer? And this is, I know it's just, it's your opinion, but what do you think, what things do you think are working?
In what regards?
In terms of healing the community.
I think the downtown east side has a lot of support for people who are working through their addictions, who want to detox,
mm-hmm.
Which is an important part and a very difficult part. I admire people who do come through, you know, to release themselves from that. I think the downtown east side has a lot of positive effects on people, a lot of support,
mm-hmm.
a lot of good people.
Yeah, there are some really great people. There's some fantastic organizations as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think the biggest thing you've learned from this exhibit?
What do I think?
That you've learned. Like, what is the greatest thing? Because I know life always teaches us things. And what if you learned through this?
Through putting up my art?
Yeah, from this particular exhibit.
Well, I think it's a particularly huge exhibit. It's mm-hmm. half the gallery.
Which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So I wasn't willing to just put it up and walk away and come back and pick it up.
No, everybody who gets to go there gets spoiled by you. You brought me tea. I got to sit down. You got to show me all sorts of information about your work. You also showed me some of the pieces that you're working on that are upcoming. So it was really exciting to kind of get a sneak peek for future projects.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I do invite people to come this weekend or from Thursday to Sunday and do have a cup of tea and come and sit in the salon, which is, I love. I mm-hmm. hate to give it up. I read poetry to people and exchange ideas. And yeah, it's just been wonderful. It's been a great opportunity to be at Gallery Gaché, who supports mental health and marginalized artists. And yeah, it's been very good.
That is really good.
Yeah. I do have one of my short poems, if anybody...
I would love that. Would you like to share it?
Sure, I'd love to share it. This is one of my first poems that came out when I first got established as, you know, doing more art for myself. And this has a strange story behind it. You know, we were doing a dance project, and we were situated on Hastings Street in one of those beautiful buildings and old buildings. And it was right beside, close to Woodward's, and now there's a vacant lot, but before there was another building there, and I got a camera, they gave us a camera, and I looked down the street, excited, and there were two Native Indian men, really tall Native Indian men with long black hair, and I thought, oh, I got to take this picture. And so I took the picture, and when I developed everything, there were no... people in the picture. So I thought that
really?
Was a little spooky. Mm-hmm. And then this poem came out.
Okay.
It's called Ruins. As I was walking among the ruins of Hastings Street that day, I take my first picture around the corner from our studio, and it did not speak. It kept walking among the relics of what used to be. An Indian spirit left the scene unnoticed, except by me. Long black hair and that unmistakable walk, even on concrete sidewalk. No grass, no leaves, no trees, just waste paper in the breeze.
Wow.
It's one of my favorite poems.
No, it's beautiful. You're a really wonderful poet.
Oh, thank you.
have you performed your work yet in terms of the performance art where you're going to share some of your poetry? Because I know last time I had you on the show, you were mentioning that there was something coming up. So has that passed yet, or is that still coming up?
No, the performance night was last week, I believe. And Dallas, who's the other person who is exhibiting, did a wonderful ceremony for her daughter. who passed away. And then I did some poetry and a puppet show on whale tails.
And how's the new project coming?
How's which?
How's the new project with whale tails coming, all the pieces? Because I know you're working on the puppets and stuff.
Oh, yes, I have a whale tail puppet.
And I just realized, am I allowed to share that on air?
Oh, yeah. I have a whale tail puppet. Yeah, and I have items for sale, silkscreen bags and cards of the whale drawings that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I had the opportunity to meet Lance, who's from the Vancouver Aquarium, who's a researcher.
Mm.
And so that was very exciting.
That is exciting. So did he come down to the exhibit to take a look at your whales?
Yes, he did.
Oh, that's
he did.
Lovely.
He was quite impressed.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's one of the things I really love about your work. There's a real vast difference where, in terms of the mood of it, where there's just this lovely serenity when it comes to the whales.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's that lovely darkness as well when it comes to the chains, which I think is really appropriate, but it's really interesting just how the mood changes as you walk through all the different pieces and actually really take it in and drink it.
You know, it's part of our human makeup. The soul of us.
The dark and the serenity?
Yes.
Yeah. And what do you think is helpful for people in general in terms of trying to find that balance? Because sometimes I think many of us as human beings struggle with just trying to balance between that light and dark.
Yeah. I think maybe thinking or just noticing that that's part of it, you know.
So acceptance?
Yeah, I think so. That, you know, we do have our darker side or, you know, and we learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's anything we can eradicate. It's part of being a human.
That's true.
So I'm excited on studying whales further. You know, they have a bigger limbic system than we do.
Mm-hmm.
And just to be with them in the wild will be very nice when I get the opportunity.
No, I think that's lovely. And when will we be seeing your work up again?
Oh, there's a show coming up at Gathering Place. It's for the 125th birthday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
And that's a group show. The opening is April 7th, and unfortunately it's only a couple of hours, from 6 to 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And Gathering Place is at Helmickan and Seymour. So anyone's welcome to come and view the art.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be just up for a short time. But it should be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be a wide variety of work.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's really exciting. So there'll be a lot of different artists there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's really lovely.
Yeah.
How difficult is it in terms of, I was just wondering, do you think art can heal people?
I think so. I think so. It depends on how the art is.
Okay, that makes sense, because we were just mentioning in terms of the dark and the light, do you think it's healthy for, in terms of being able to, instead of numbing ourselves, being able to, as we talked about earlier, being able to accept the fact that we have dark and we do have light in us, and instead of really striving to basically hide that,
mm-hmm.
to find a vessel to let that express itself, but in a positive way.
Yeah, sure, for sure. I think so. It's a bit of a difficult question, but I think if people keep becoming more aware of who they are,
mm-hmm.
you know, and their origins, I think the closer we come to knowing our soul.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or the soul's way.
The soul's way. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think because a lot of people think when negative things happen, it's a bad thing. And the soul has its journey, and we think we have our journey. But I think it just might be our soul. Be interesting to find out. Well, it's very, I guess, very different journey for people. But, you know, especially in the downtown east side, I believe it's quite evident, you know, there's a struggle. You know, there's a lot of violence. There's a lot of drug use. There's a lot of, you know, things to help move pain away, you know. And I think the pain has things to show us,
mm-hmm.
you know, besides the joy and the happiness that there is in life.
That's true, because sometimes I think when there's pain, if we really listen to it and not let ourselves drown in it,
mm-hmm.
where we can, and I think that's the key, is the fact that if we don't hold on to it and we just really feel it, it will pass.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I honestly think there's dark gifts attached to pain.
Yeah.
Where if we really listen to it and it's like, what am I supposed to learn from this? How can I move forward? And where's the gift? And sometimes it takes a long time, sometimes years,
mm-hmm.
To actually see what that gift is. But that's how we actually evolve and we grow and become better.
Well, right now is a very interesting time because yellow is popping up and pink, and it's springtime and new growth. And so it's, we're coming out of it's a dark period of winter.
Mm-hmm, very much so. I know I was actually running in Crab Park this afternoon, training for the sun run with Laura. So I actually put my heels away for once, and we actually went for a run. She had me doing it mini hills and stuff like that as well, going up towards the lines at the top of that little overpass getting into Crab Park. So,
are there any cherry blossoms there?
You know what? I didn't notice the cherry blossoms. I did notice the beautiful magnolia trees, though. But
yeah,
I think I was too busy panting, to be really frank. Yeah, so if people want to find out more about Gallery Gachet and your work, because it's there till Sunday and they want to connect with you, how can they get a hold of you?
They can come to the gallery, which is at 88 East Cordova, so that's 88 East Cordova, and that's near Columbia. I have an email address.
Okay, would you like to share it?
Sure.
Thank you.
Montana King, Montana King, K-I-N-G, at hotmail.com.
Thank you very much, Montana, and I hope everybody gets a chance to see your work, which is really exciting. And we'll hopefully hear more from you, because I know you're going to be continuing to create more work. And I'm really glad you called in. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
And I might keep you on if you'd like. I'll talk to you as we take a really quick short break just off air. Because up next is Vincent Ng, which I'm really excited about, the author of The Art of Conversation, who I've had on before. And we're going to be discussing just in regards to Vancouver, just sometimes being a little bit of a coffee cup culture where we're almost too laid back, and how to have engaging conversations both in terms of dating and online, offline, as well as just connecting with people. So you've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back after this short little break, which I do have to find the commercial. So I am in search of that as we speak and being kind of geeky. So Sexy in Van City Radio. And that is not playing. Sometimes I think I'm technically challenged. Truthfully. We'll be right back.
Become a friend of CITR and receive great discounts at businesses around Vancouver.
Your Friends of CITR card will net you discounts in the Westside UBC area at Banyan Books, The Bike Kitchen, The Eatery, Fresh's Best Salsa, Gumdrops, Kerner's Pub, Prussian Music, Rufus's Guitar Shop, and West Coast Music.
And don't forget the UBC Bookstore. It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus, or visit us online at citr.ca.
Hey this is Clem from White Cowbell, Oklahoma. Baby, don't touch that dial, because you got it locked on C-I-T-R.
For the very best in bluegrass music, plus classic country, Cajun, rockabilly, western swing, and whatever jumps off the shelves at us, tune in every Tuesday morning at 6:30 for Pacific Pickin' with your host, Arthur Berman.
And I'm Andrea.
The lovely Andrea, who will also provide you with our concert calendar and every bit of news and information you can possibly need. And as if that wasn't enough, there's a warm-up show at 6 featuring a little bit of a wider variety of roots and branches of bluegrass music. So tune in each morning, 6 for the warm-up show, 6:30 for the main show, Pacific Pickin', on
CITR
101.9 in Vancouver.
And we are back in Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. And I'm actually really excited because I've got two guests on air, and I think I have not done this for a really long time. So I've still got Montana King because she had some questions that she wanted to ask Vincent Ng, who is our guest, The Art of Conversation. So I'm just going to say hello to both of you to make sure technically I have you both on air. Oh, actually, I don't hear either of you, so... let me just make sure I have both of you on air. Vincent? Montana? Okay, I think I've managed to lose both my guests, so maybe I'm not technically able to have both. So if I can please get Vincent to call back, that would be absolutely marvelous. And Montana, I apologize about that. So hopefully Vincent will call me right back. And we're going to be chatting. One of the things that Montana was asking just out of curiosity, which is one that I hear a lot from ladies in Vancouver, is when someone's not calling, how do we deal with that? And so when Vincent calls back in, I'm hoping that we can have that conversation. So he should be calling in just a second, hopefully. I'm going to see if I can figure out how to get him back on air, but just not quite sure if I've got him there yet. Vincent? No, I don't. Okay, you're going to have to call back, pretty please. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. And I think this might be Vincent, so I'm just going to put right back on air. Is that Vincent?
Yes, it is, Carolyn.
Hi, thank you so much. I sometimes get technically challenged where I couldn't quite figure out how to have two guests on, but I welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome, and it's been a while since I've had you on. It was nice when I had you on before, and you were a wonderful guest, and it was really exciting because I got to find out about your book afterwards, and since then it was really nice to run into you at the YVR Festival last week, where Beauty Night raised over $8,000 thanks to at YVR Festival, the Vancouver community, which was truly amazing.
Yeah, no, it was a fantastic event. You personally looked absolutely amazing.
Well, thank you.
It was a great event. I think Rebecca did a great job along with the team, and yeah, it was really just simply an amazing night.
It really was, and I think if anything, that was a really good, stellar example of getting offline, where in terms of, for those of you who may not be familiar with what Twestival is, all around the world there's over 200 countries that pick different charities, and it's the Twitter communities who get offline and actually connect and actually choose that time to mingle and also raise money for worthy causes. And Beauty Night Society, which I'm very particularly attached to, is the charity of choice for the YVR Twestival, and it was really great where we raised over $8,000 for the charity. So it was pretty exciting, and Gregor Robertson was there as well, and a lot of people who I had never met in person before, so it was really exciting to meet people where I've chatted with them online before as their Twitter handle, as well as reconnect with some really dear people who I don't get to see more as much as I'd like to. So in regards to meeting people both on and offline, there's a lot of different ways people can have conversations. And I'd love to pick your brain in regards to what your thoughts are in terms of having good conversations, because even online, sometimes that's a big issue as well, where it's a matter of how do you talk to people? And I don't know if you hear that from people where it's like, how do you have a good conversation?
Yeah, actually, I still do a lot of times. I think like you're talking about. I mean, especially nowadays, you know, everybody's online.
Mm-hmm.
We're having really quick conversations, like literally 140 characters, which is a great way to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're saying, we really need to reestablish a sense of connection. And the first thing I always tell, like, there's always two things I always tell people is, number one, try to purposely improve your conversation skills. And how you do that is definitely, go out there, practice. And number two, be open to having conversations. I think sometimes we get really attached to our perspective on things,
mm-hmm.
really attached to, who we are. And we don't really listen to other people. We try to understand them. And I think that when people feel like you're at least trying to understand them, that, conversations really open up when that happens, I find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes perfect sense, because a lot of times we're not open to it. And I was curious in regards to what you thought of in regards to, because sometimes I see as in terms of short conversations like you mentioned online, but we see that offline as well, where sometimes they see, for example, Blends Coffee has that whole red band thing, which I thought was really interesting for those singletons in the city, so... It could be really interesting, because if people can't connect, and just the fact that as you mentioned, people need to be really, really open with stuff. And if they're not open to receiving conversation, regardless whether it's a pickup or not, it may not lead anywhere.
Yeah, I think it's just a very, I think it's just really important in general. Like you're saying, it's not necessarily just pickup, but, having a sense of trust, whether it's the people you work with or it's just somebody that, that you've just met. Being open is really hard, because being open means being vulnerable
mm-hmm.
in conversation. It means that you're giving a part of yourself to someone that you may not know. And that is actually a really hard thing, I think, to do, to be able to expose yourself. And I always tell people is to kind of test the limits a little bit, expose yourself, but see how people react, and see, maybe some stuff that people you say might be a little too much. And that's understandable, too, because people want to develop relationships slowly, I find, especially
mm-hmm.
in Vancouver. Giving them too much information may not be a good way to start, but definitely just opening yourself up, what you definitely love to do, what you are passionate about, things that you're involved in, community events that you've attended. Just give them something to work with.
No, it's true, and I was just curious, as you mentioned, sometimes we have a tendency to want to kind of just give everybody all the goods right away instead of that whole thing about, I think we forget it sometimes in this day and age where we're kind of center stage, because when we're online, our profiles, we're very out there. It's almost like a very... very almost reality TV in some ways, depending how we choose the choices we choose and how we portray ourselves.
Yeah, I think it's definitely for sure. I mean, like you were saying earlier, you met lots of people that you
mm-hmm.
communicated online for the first time. And sometimes it can be, I find it can be, shocking to other people when I go up to them and go, hey, I've met you on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually, to be honest, some people are very comfortable with it, and some people are actually very unprepared that they actually you did tweet me, but there's so many people that are doing the online thing
mm-hmm.
that it gets overwhelming, and you really do have to kind of go out there and really connect with people and open about yourself, because it's great if you're open. Like I think like you're right, it's great that your reality TV show online, but the truth is people still want to know who you are, and they want to know that you're a real person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important to be transparent, not just only online about what you stand for, but also in person as well.
It's very true. That's very true. So how do we do that if we've kind of almost branded ourselves online where we've got a very specific persona? And when we connect with people, what would you advise in terms of being open? Because sometimes when we say that to people, they're like, I don't really get what you're talking about. I am being open.
Yeah, I think that it's really, it is kind of difficult, because I think that's another thing that people perceive, that being open is another, it's their own kind of term that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the really tricky part. I think that, you know, people just have to put their foot forward and just kind of try. And I totally understand, like, my, you know, in all honesty, like, my girlfriend and I, you know, what I think I'm being open, she thinks I'm being shut. And when I think she's being shut, she's actually believing that she's open. So it's about testing the boundaries and really, you know, really pushing the boundaries sometimes to make the effort.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just realizing that, you know, being open is also about learning to step back and go, okay, you know, really, is this conversation going too defensive, or am I hanging on to my ego? You know, and is it really going to matter 2 hours later about, you know, what I say? And I think that's the thing, you just have to relax.
Yeah. And I think sometimes that can be hard. So to be relaxed sometimes, because even though we are really out there, sometimes it's just a matter of breathing. And it was interesting what you said in regards to you and your girlfriend, just sometimes where sometimes we think we're being open, but even within a relationship with the people that we love the most in our lives, that sometimes we are not always as open as we think we are. And I think that comes down to sometimes there's different love languages. And I'm always, you know me, I'm a geek. I always quote Gary Chapman's 5 love languages.
I love the book, yeah.
Me
yeah,
too.
I have a copy myself.
Yay! He's actually got one more book that just came out, and I apologize because I can't remember the title, but it was really in regards to, because he thought when he wrote the 5 love languages, that which are, for those listeners out there who aren't familiar with them, there's different ways we show people that we love each other. So acts of service, there is, I should know this, words of acknowledgement, quality time, gifts, and as well as that physical contact. And each of us all need all these things, but some are stronger. So sometimes it's really important to actually recognize what do we like most, and what does our partner like most? Because for your partner, if acts of service are really big, they may be doing things like taking out the trash or, you know, doing things like that and going, hey, why aren't you noticing, when maybe, you know, gifts is your love language. So you're expecting them to give you like roses or, you know, a really nice note or something. And it's like, hey, so you're both saying I love you, but just having different ways to describe it.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, a lot of it is very, I think that's the interesting thing, it's very transferable, you know, what Gary Chapman says to the professional world. And
very, you know, much, I think, so.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that, you know, you might, you know, you bump into a coworker and you think you're doing them a favor by getting them Canucks tickets, you know, and they're like, oh, you know, it's like, oh, the Canucks are in the playoffs, here's your tickets, and they're like, oh, well, that's really nice, but what they're looking for is really a sense of, like, verbal acknowledgement. For their job well done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that how this kind of relates to it is that I think this is partially why, this is partially how I think people need to open up, is recognizing that there are different ways that we do open. We tend to open, like, sometimes we open when someone gives us a verbal compliment, and sometimes we open when we tend to, someone shows us, you know, physical affection, so they're giving us a handshake, or they might hug us for the first time because they've, like you're saying, you might have communicated back and forth on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
and you have this really great Twitter relationship, and there might be more of a hugging type. So I think that they're, you know, learning to really understand other people's languages in terms of just appreciation, it really goes a long way, not just for the short term, but for definitely the long term as well.
Mm-hmm. Because it's about creating relationships, so that connection where hopefully it leads to deeper friendships, deeper romances, deeper business connections, and all of it stems from relationship.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's a really, like, the paradox of, you know, today's society is that, you know, we're moving really quickly, we're trying to communicate with each other through email and online, But the funny thing is that I've always noticed that the best online communicators are actually the ones that are out there communicating in person. You know, they're always really complimenting each other, where they open up on, you know, they're, like we're talking about, a really public profile. People know what's going on. But they're kind of the same person that you would meet in person. They're not really that much different. And it's and I think that that's really important to building relationships, is maintaining, you know, who you are and really going forward with what you believe in. And I think that the trouble with relationships and building friendships is that there's a misconception that we have to try to get along with everybody. And the truth is that I think the reality is, even for myself, when I was writing my conversation book, I realized that, you know what, this is not, it's going to work for a lot of people, but it's not, and nothing in life is guaranteed. And you have to really, you know what, you have to realize that not everybody's going to like you, and those that do like you are actually going to be your best friends, and that's usually, I think, that's life.
And it's not a bad thing necessarily that we don't get along with everyone. I think that there are, as you mentioned, there's some people who are going to be really, really strong, where you can connect and have really wonderful, rich conversations. It kind of reminds me of networking sometimes, where there's certain networking events in town where they're like, okay, bring 30 business cards and, you know, try and see how many people you can hit, you know, in the 20 minutes before you have to sit down at the table. And my question with that is, I've always thought about it, is I'd rather connect with at least one to two people where I have a really great conversation. And then from there, it's a matter of actually following up, where I actually do call when I get that person's card. Or if they email me, that I do follow it up and see if I can connect with them in person again.
Yeah, I think especially, I think, depending, it's almost a very outcome-driven, depending on where people are. Especially, I think, to the people that are trying to build relationships, definitely more about quality. You know, you want to be able to follow up with the people that are interesting, and the people that are that you're going to be probably talking about, you know, talking to months later. And I mean, if that's really, if that's the kind of relationship you're seeking, then I think naturally you're going to attract that type of person, because they're looking for that too. Because the truth is, like you're mentioning, if you meet somebody that has the 30 business cards and the quick go, let's face it, when they meet you, they're going to disappear seven minutes later. And so you're not going to be in contact with the person, you know, on a very deep level. So it kind of works out nicely when you find that type of relationship with people.
That's true. That's actually really, really, really true. So,
yeah, I know. I'm guilty of that at times too. So.
Well, it does make me wonder, because I know with certain networking things too, where you get all these cards, and I sometimes question. I was actually at a workshop about maybe a week or so ago, and it was funny, where at the end of the workshop, even though I didn't speak to this person the whole time because there was an instructor there, and actually this person went out of their way to go and hand everybody a business card, and I'm like, why? Because I didn't know who they were. You know, and it was a great organization there with, but unless I talk to somebody directly, I'm not going to cold call them like that, even though, sure, it's great to have your card, but I'd rather have a valuable, really wonderful connection with somebody, and then I want to actually connect with them and see if I want to follow up and see if there's something that we might be able to collaborate with and do something fun.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I feel like I'm at the same level too, where, you know, I think that there's always the old age philosophy, when you try to master everything, you master nothing. And it's kind of the same thing, as when you try to connect with everybody in a room of, even if it's just 30 people, the truth is, if it's an... you know, it's really about, you know, harnessing that relationship. And I think that people don't realize is that, you know, there's a lot of power in having... acquaintances. I don't deny that. You know, there's a lot of people that, you know, they're strangers and they help each other out and they get jobs through there. But I think that depending on what kind of connection you're looking for, it's really important, if you're looking for something with substance and something where, you know, people are able to chat and connect, that you're not just shoving a business card in their face and, oh, please call me. And, you know, because nowadays it's a pretty harsh world, where people are really starving for genuine affection without necessarily feeling that there has to be something attached to it. or some kind of like manipulative goal. And that, I think, is the really tricky part nowadays, is that we all want something. We try to get it. But that word authenticity and being genuine is really losing, I think, meaning, because the truth is a lot of us are struggling to find what that means nowadays.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that. I think in a lot of ways, I know I say this to my listeners, we really are living in a fast food culture. Even though things, and I love the fact, because I've met so many people through online where it's been great and been able to take those relationships offline, both in business through Twitter, through Facebook, and it's been really excited where I've been able to meet like-minded people, and it's been lovely, but at the same time, it's difficult because sometimes without putting that perseverance and actually doing the follow-up, it doesn't lead to anywhere. It's just emptiness.
Yeah, it's kind of I think that's always kind of the paradox, is that I think the paradox, especially if you're working for a nonprofit or you're in a business, which is, you know, do you reach out to more people so that they know about your organization?
Mm-hmm.
The goal is to bring awareness to, like, for example, like Beauty Night. You know, you do want to, like, it's tough because you want more people to be aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you really want to have that personal connection. And it's really finding that balance that can be really hard. But at the end of the day, like, I think the truth is that if no one really senses that you're passionate about what you do or you have such interest in it, they're not really going to talk about it with somebody else, you know? And I think that's why YVR Festival was so successful and that everybody jumped aboard, because it was, you know, a local charity. Beauty Night was doing a fantastic job. I mean, you showed up, there was a lot of, you know, buzz, and that's only because people can genuinely feel that, you know, this is something that is important to Vancouver, because if you can't sense it, the truth is nobody would really go out to the event, regardless of what the cause is. People need to know that you stand for something and that you mean what you say.
Thank you. I think that's true. It's one of those things where sometimes I hesitate, even though I love Hootsuite, and I actually do use it on my phone. But I'm always very, very careful about how much stuff I actually pre-program, if that makes sense, in terms of when I'm scheduling tweets, because I try and make it as authentic as I can.
Yeah, no, and I think that, and let's face it, I'll be honest, anybody that runs an organization and says they don't schedule their tweets, it's probably lying. I do every tweet on my own. I'm like, are you sure? Then, but, you know, it's hard because, again, it goes back to the awareness versus, you know, authenticity and really what, you know, what is the ultimate goal of all this. But you're right, I think that... I think, to me, what really bugs me, the way I see Twitter is that it's kind of a fine balance between the conversation that you would have in real life. You know, you do want to promote a little bit of who you are, but you want to listen, and you don't want to spam people with messages all the time.
I was just going to say that as well. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine if, like, all of us are at some networking event and somebody randomly comes up to us and goes, like, hey, you know what, you should definitely buy, you know, this product. Everybody they went to is like, hey, you should definitely buy this product, you know, and you know, it would be so weird, you know. So I think it's definitely, I think scheduling tweets are okay, but making sure that people are not, making sure that, you know, how we are, like, you know, talking about ourselves and what we do,
mm-hmm.
is also balanced with actual interaction between who we are on, with online and offline, of course.
That's true, and sometimes with the branding, because I know myself, I get really excited about when I talk about Beauty Night and things like that as an example, because it's a cause that's really dear to me, and I have to be really cognizant of the fact that I do need to listen as well, and that was one of the points I was really glad you mentioned, that it's like, if I go on and on and on about it, and that's all I talk about, and I don't listen to what anybody else says, it's not a collaborative community initiative, which is what that's supposed to be. Whenever you have a charity, it should be a community that gets together, because it believes that something needs to be changed, and that the cause is, because they share the same values and same mission, that's how they choose to, how to change things. So it's really, really important. But if it's just one person who is just basically spouting off the same rhetoric over and over and over again, which it does, it's spammy, but as well as that, it's almost, and forgive me for those who are religious out there, because I, you know, I'm spiritual myself, but it's almost like being a born again Christian, where you're just totally addicted to it. And charities do get their, they actually are derived originally from missionaries, hence the word mission statement, where originally, and it's interesting even with the church structure, where there are different churches and each one has a different mission. So for some, in terms of their endeavors, they'll do things like, you know, send aid to Africa, or currently a lot of organizations, regardless religious or otherwise, to Japan, just with everything going on. Others do things like the Agape Street Ministry, where they collect candy and actually give it to the women in the downtown east side. So based on what their values are and what their vision of success are, it's totally different. So, but if all they do is talk about just that, and they don't actually listen to see what the community wants and what other people want, because relationships are give and take. And no one's ever going to get anywhere. And the next thing you know, delete, delete, delete. I don't want to talk to you. Oh no, it's that person. I'm going to screen that call. Ah, I'm not here. I'm hiding under my desk. Vincent, tell them I'm not here.
No, and I totally agree. And I think that's where the power of listening and collaboration comes in, is that it allows for people to evolve their relationship. And that's the thing, like you're saying, if you talk all the time, then you actually don't know if the person you're talking with can help your organization, and maybe there is some kind of way to help out. But if you're talking about it, there really isn't there's no evolution for yourself,
mm-hmm.
the relationship, and the organization you work with. And I think the worst part about this, too, is that, like you're saying, people will recognize that you're passionate about an organization, and they'll know you want to do so much for it, but at the same time, I think people don't want to, what happens is that you don't want a reputation that's all you have to talk about, and so then people go, it's like, oh, you know, hey, Vincent, all Vincent ever talks about is his company that he works for, like how one-dimensional is that, you know, because I think, you know, behind every organization, behind every like, mission statement is still people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the up moments, there's the down moments, and you know, and people want to know that, you know, there's a heart and soul behind it.
Yes.
Not just necessarily you know, just promoting ourselves, of course.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of promoting you, and you've got your book. Do you want to plug your website so people can download it if they want to get some tips about things?
Oh yeah, sure. So my website is www.conversationarts.com. So if you Google Conversation Arts, it should be the first one to pop up.
Mm.
And you can take a look at the website. And again, I'm not very active on there. I'm not going to lie anymore. I kind of moved on to more of a corporate position. But I would like to welcome that if anybody has any questions, so feel free to email me, and I'll definitely do my best to respond. In the most timely manner, of course.
That would be wonderful. Did you want to speak to, in terms of the corporate change that you've made?
Oh, thanks.
You can, because I was curious, because I know you. It's Reward Me is the company, so I was very curious. So
yeah, well, thank you, Caroline. I really appreciate it. It's funny how we're talking about promoting and listening, and you know, so it's like it's kind of interesting for the irony. But and like you're saying, it is the value of connections. 2 years ago, I did a talk with somebody, and basically he thought, you know, I was a great person. And, you know, together we now work for a company called Reward Me.
Reward Me.
Yeah. And it's an app for retail and salons and restaurants that want to develop their own loyalty program.
Mm-hmm.
And it's free of charge in Vancouver. We help everybody set up everything. And we have over, you know, we're located in California, and we have about 50 different restaurants at that. So if anybody wants to, feel free to give me a call at 604-782-0801, and I'd be happy to talk more about it.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Vincent. And it's a pleasure to have you on. I know last week you're like, well, I'm doing corporate, so I may not be able to be on your show. And you were such an awesome guest. So tonight when I had a cancellation, I'm like, oh, I was so glad that you were able to be on, so because it was nice to reconnect with you last week, so, and just hear about what you're up to. And you are a very good conversationalist, so I think people should go and check out your book, and you've got a lot of really wonderful things to say, and they should check out Reward Me as well. So
yeah, thanks, Kellen. It was always a pleasure. And of course, if you ever need any help, I think you know how to reach me.
Yes, I do. Yeah. And you definitely rescued this damsel in distress tonight, so I do appreciate that. And it's been nice. So between you and Montana, I've been able to get some wonderful conversation tonight. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, you've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Up next is Hans von Klaus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. He'll be guiding you through the wee hours with his ambient music and his super hot voice. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back next week at the Sexy Hour of 10 o'clock. Until next time, bye bye. And why am I having such challenges tonight with playing ads? So please forgive me, everyone. Oh, here we go.
Vancouver Folk Music Festival is proud to present Matt Epp and the Amorian Assembly, Tuesday, April 12th at the St. James Hall in Kits. Touring from coast to coast in support of the new album, At Dawn, Matt Epp fuses the songwriting greatness of influences like Bob Dylan and Jonathan Richman into something uniquely his own. I wasn't happy with you, can you be happy for me? It's not like it's obvious. Come in, forgive me, friend. Don't miss Matt Epp and the Amorian Assembly, Tuesday, April 12th at the St. James Hall in Kits. For tickets and more information, visit thefestival.bc.ca.
Family should die whilst in the shelter from contamination, put them outside, but remember to tag them first for identification purposes. that you will ever hear. Do not be alarmed.